Hello, I'm your host, Letitia Bishop, and welcome to the Beauty Talk podcast. If you don't know me, I'm a professional makeup artist and beauty writer. I want to thank you all for coming back and listening to another episode. While you're listening to this episode, I would love you to take a screenshot of your phone and tag me on Instagram stories, and I can say hi to those of you that are listening in. Today, we have a guest. It is Andrea Clark. She is a trichologist. Hello. And hairstylist for over 30 years and then became a trichologist in 2017. That's welcome. Right.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
You're welcome. So share with us a little bit about what a trichologist actually means, because I'm sure so many people don't even know, and how did you get started and interested in doing it?
Sure. So trichology is the science of hair and scalp. So trichos, meaning hair, and ology, the science of it. More and more people are actually surprising me with their knowledge about it. But basically, it's a profession that's been around for over 100 years. It started in a barbershop in the UK. So it was someone checking out the hair and the scalp back then. And then schools were developed, and you could train to be a trichologist, you know, decades ago. But it's becoming more and more popular because we seem to be having some major issues with hair and scalp. And it's probably not new, but we are so aware of our bodies and our health these days, and it's not so taboo. So people will come out and talk about it. So the trichologist fits somewhere between a stylist and a dermatologist and GP, and you don't have to be a hairstylist to become a trichologist, but I had hair shedding issues, sensitive scalp, and my mum lost her hair, alopecia areata, so I wanted to understand the underlying causes and how and what we could do.
It's always more beneficial in the long run to get to the root cause of something than put a little band-aid on it, right?
Yeah.
I believe that with everything, skin, gut health, it might take longer for you to get there, but in the long run that will help you enormously.
Yes. And a lot of us don't have patience, and we procrastinate about what we're going to do about things. So those two, once we get over that hurdle, it's amazing how quickly we can come to a conclusion, or at least offer some advice, or offer some, you know, program of some type.
Cool. So today I wanted to, I know trichology is like hair loss and other things, but I wanted to focus today on the scalp. I don't know about you, but do you feel like scalp talk and conversation is becoming more and more in recent months or years?
Absolutely. I had a little promotion recently at Glow Salon and Spa, and we were going to focus on doing treatments for hair loss. And I would say that 80% of the men and women that came to see me came about flaky, itchy scalp and sensitivity, and less about hair shedding. That was secondary. It was there, but it wasn't their main concern.
And do you think that hair shedding, it comes from scalp issue, or it could be quite separated?
It can be separated, but often it's together because the underlying reason for both is often gut health, hormones, diet. So it's it can be environment too, but you've got to work on it in a holistic manner. And like you said before, we often put a Band-Aid on it, and we've got plenty of products and medications that can help the itching or the flaking or the redness subside, but it comes back again. So that's why you've got to look at absolutely everything and ongoing. You know, often things like psoriasis or eczema, it's a lifelong thing and it will flare up again. But if you know the triggers, then it's quite easy to, without spending thousands and thousands of dollars on a Band-Aid, keep it at bay at least on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's just learning new habits to maintain it and live with that. Yeah. You know, good practices for the scalp.
And some things do go away because, you know, it could be the result of medications or antibiotics or fever or pregnancy, that's self-correcting often. And if it hasn't corrected after a certain amount of time, then you look at other things, iron levels, B12 levels, diet, sleep. So there's a multitude of things that I cover in a consultation. It's not just one thing, it's looking at the big picture.
And is that quite standard for trichologists globally, everywhere, to be quite comprehensive in their approach, or is that just to you?
No, it is. I'm a member and qualified through the International Association of Trichologists in Australia. That was the most logical place to study. I did it from abroad, so I did it from here, but I had to also go physically and sit with my the head of the association. So it's quite intense, and it covers the body workings, psychology, diet, nutrition, a gamut of things. So and there's standards and there's code of ethics. Until recently, we couldn't even do online consultations. It had to be in person. But because of COVID, it's just not possible.
Yeah.
And people, again, are having increased issues with hair and scalp because of the stresses of COVID. So, you know, if you get COVID and you get a fever, fever is one of the big causes of that temporary increase in shedding. Sometimes immediate, but usually we always look back 3 months, what happened back 3 months ago, not just what happened yesterday when we're talking about shedding. But because we're talking about scalp, let's get back to that. Let's not go off in a tangent, which I tend to do.
No worries.
The stress will increase you know, your central nervous system to go bananas, for want of a better phrase. And so therefore, that's when you start to get the itchiness, maybe the burning, because your cortisol levels have risen. That's what happens with stress. So that's your flight and fight and flight hormone, and we need it. So if we want to go back to the Olympics and say, well, you need that adrenaline running when the gun goes off so that you can, you know, hopefully win the race.
Definitely.
But if you've got to go back to the start and re-race and go back to the start and re-race and hope that you're going to be the winner, after a period of time, your adrenal gland is going to get affected. So it's a domino effect. So first of all, when someone comes to me about scalp issues, firstly, I would be asking the very practical question of how often do you shampoo your hair? Because this is a very humid city and there's pollution. And so it might just need that you have to keep it clean. The second thing I would ask is, what are you using? Because you might be having contact irritation. So there might be an ingredient that could be, you know, a colour ingredient or a fragrance that is just not
working.
And it could be that you develop an irritation to something that you never had before. It
might something be you've been using for a long time.
Yeah, a food you're eating or a product that you're eating or a product.
Please don't.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
So these are the questions. So I will ask what's in their bathroom cupboard. It could be too that you need to throw that out. It's a bit old. It's been open for too long.
Well, the bathroom and the shower is not a great environment for products to last, is it? It's a great environment for bacteria to be growing.
That's right. So you can see that it's very simplistic in the beginning and it's a process of elimination. Then I will be asking, you know, what are you doing with your diet? You know, what are you eating? Are you having a lot of sugar? Are you intolerant perhaps to dairy? How's your gut health? How regular are you? Because inflammation is another major factor for flaking and itching. So if you can very simply look at your diet and, you know, reduce or take away some of those inflammatory foods and look at a diet that is less likely to have you bloat. That's another thing. If you start bloating, chances are you've got gut issues, acid reflux. Don't underestimate how sensitive the gut is. Leaky gut syndrome also can have can create scalp issues or issues around the body. If you talk to anyone that has lived with psoriasis or a bad eczema, they will usually share the protocol, which is sometimes taking gluten out of your diet.
The elimination diet.
Yeah, the elimination diet. Some of them will be encouraged to do an autoimmune style diet. And this can be ongoing through their life. And in conjunction with that, they're also sometimes doing the topical thing because it can flare up quite badly. And that's where the dermatologist comes in, and I can't help with steroids and, you know, creams that have the steroids in it. But we also suggest not too long term with that.
The steroid.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. How long do you think someone should eliminate something from their diet to start to notice a result?
It usually takes about 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
And this is That's information.
Dedication,
yeah,
isn't
it is dedication. And this is the information that I get from the functional medical practitioners and dietitians. I work with them because obviously I can't be knowledgeable in everything, and I'm very quick to add that I'm not a doctor, but someone will come to me and I'll do the research for them and then guide them in the direction that I think that they should be taking.
Beautiful. So what kind of scalp issues do you commonly see with people? And if people are noticing that they have this and it's not normal, they shouldn't be living with this and dealing with it, what do you think people should come and see you when they notice of their own head?
I think that by the time they perhaps notice that the flakes on their scalp are not coming away, definitely you've either got to see your GP or your dermatologist. You can come to see me because, again, they may have been given all of these creams and shampoos and this situation has come back, and they perhaps haven't been ask the question about their diet and their digestion and their sleep patterns. So that is an area where I fill that void between the GP and the dermatologist.
It's surprising how much you can go to a GP and tell them about things and they would just tell you a cream or something and they never ask about your diet or gut, don't they?
Well, I think that, well, God love the GP, we need them.
We do.
But if you look at it logically, what time is spent during their training on just scalp or just hair loss? Probably not a lot of time. And if there has been a lot of time, how often do they see it, you know, with a hairstylist? Often I have recommendations from hairstylists because they are the first people after the client themselves to notice patches of baldness or skin that isn't coming away. A lot of salons have beautiful products that also can be used like on a weekly, monthly basis, like scalp treatments that can dissolve the skin and gently take it away. But again, it may not be enough. You may have to get into creams that have salicylic acid in it and zinc oxide and tar.
It's kind of like, you know, I recommend people need to exfoliate their skin and their face and use acid toners and things.
Mm-hmm.
That's recommended for the scalp as well.
Well, I give myself what I call a satial every now and again.
A satial scalp.
And what that will include, because I do have quite a sensitivity to products, I will start off, I might give myself a rinse with witch hazel. So I try and do some natural remedies. And
I bought it.
Good, yes.
It doesn't smell great.
Well, there's some brands that don't, but there is.
I bought the simple one from iHerb.
Okay.
It's 100% witch hazel. I'll show you the bottle after.
Yep.
Am I meant to dilute it or just put it directly in a spray bottle? That's
directly,
what I did, yeah. Just sprayed it on my roots and, yeah, let's see.
Okay, so I'll give you another way of using it, and that is particularly if your scalp is quite inflamed or itchy or red. You will pour it in the shower because you don't want it running down your face. You'll pour it over the head, and then you would, which is what I do, is then I use a gentle exfoliating shampoo from Davinez, and then I will use a purifying shampoo. So that's to, you know, like calm it down. Mm-hmm. And then I will put the witch hazel again and then my conditioner and comb the conditioner through. Sometimes people have said to me that certain anti-dandruff shampoos or you know, wellness shampoos will dry out the hair or fade the colour. So
A lot of people would have cautions of that.
They would have to. So I recommend that you would wet your hair and put your conditioner on first so that it's a barrier. Or I sometimes do a hair treatment and leave it on hours when I'm exercising or just moving around the house or watching Netflix. Then I will get into the shower and do the facial. And my hair is protected by the lovely hair treatment that I've been having sit there for sometimes even overnight.
Okay.
I will leave it. But it depends on the conditioning treatment, which one, because some are a bit heavy. But that's why we like to have it as a pre-shampoo treatment, because you're washing away the excess.
I love the idea of the
facial.
Yeah. Maybe I can write down the little list of steps for people in the show notes.
Absolutely.
How they could do a facial at home themselves. Mm-hmm. So can you share with us a few simple fixes or healthy practices for people just to ensure they, you know, have good, healthy scalp practices for home? What should they be doing?
So the most simple one is don't be afraid to shampoo your hair every day.
Which I was.
Yes. Yeah. And think of shampoo for your scalp, not for your hair.
Mm.
So you'll choose your shampoo for the scalp and then you'll choose your conditioner for the condition of your hair.
Interesting. I would just be like, I've got dry hair, so I need a scalp, like shampoo and conditioner for dry hair.
Yes.
But you're saying separate the two.
You can, and you can mix and match. So remembering that your hair down here is years and years old, so of course it probably is damaged and dry. But what if you've got an oily scalp or an itchy scalp? You don't want to be using a moisturizing shampoo on your scalp. And often you have to swap in a medicated shampoo or one that is calming in with your regular shampoo. So sometimes you have to use more than one.
Have a bit of a wardrobe choice.
Exactly. So that's step one, making sure that your scalp is clean and not being afraid that if you shampoo it, you're going to lose more hair down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
Because in actual fact, when you wash it every day, you can lose 100 hairs a day.
Yes.
So if you're washing it every day, you're going to see 100 hairs down the drain. If you wash it on day 5, possibly you're going to see 500 hairs down the drain. And it's been caught up as well in a ponytail. And because your hair just doesn't jump out of your scalp when it's ready. No, it doesn't dive out. It needs a little bit of a comb.
Yeah.
And we do have a tendency to pull at our hair and we kind of freak ourselves out by seeing so much coming into our hands. But again, if you haven't washed your hair for 5 days, that's a lot of hair that's being caught. So step two, if that hasn't helped and you're still getting itchy scalp and it's still red and it's still oily, then you need to swap out whatever shampoo that you're using. And so don't dive out there to the chemist and get one for dandruff like Head and Shoulders and I think it's Niroxol, because you might not have that severity.
Mm.
So then you might just actually be drying your scalp out more. People are mistaken about the type of scalp they have and this type of dandruff they have.
Definitely.
Some people think it's dry, so they go and put oil on their scalp. And in actual fact, their scalp is oily.
Like me, dandruff. I thought mine was dry. And then after our consultation, you said it was more oily.
Yes.
And I needed to shampoo my hair more.
Mm.
Which I am, I promise. I am doing not every day, but I'd say we're at every second day, which is significantly more.
That is good. I mean, I am every second day as well,
okay,
even with a sensitive scalp, because sometimes my hair looks and sits better, particularly curly hair.
So many people say they love second day hair, yeah.
Yes, and the curly girl method sometimes calls for it, if I'm not wrong, to shampoo your hair less.
It does,
so. Yeah. You might not realize that that's helping with the increase of oil and dirt and pollution on your scalp. So what do you do in that case? What if you don't want to wash your hair every single day?
Yeah.
You don't. If you don't have a scalp issue, you don't have to. But if you do, you're going to want to start out with that.
Yeah.
And again, if that still doesn't work, you're wanting to look at your diet then. So, you know, looking at how much sugar, how much champagne you're drinking, and how much cheese are you eating. It doesn't mean that you're intolerant or you've got a gluten issue, but you just might have sensitivity to those foods. So you just drop them back a little bit. Then if it is still bad, then possibly you may have to get onto some antibiotics and, you know, more intense treatments, because it could also be fungal. Mm. And that is the only way to perhaps get rid of a fungal infection on the scalp is to...
Fungal is something that isn't lifelong. It's just a period of time, or it always comes back?
I believe so. I think that fungal is more short term. But I have seen scalp issues, and particularly there's one that occurs at the back of the head that we have no idea why happens. But again, often when the gut is looked at, it's miraculous, and the stress levels subside, miraculously it goes away.
Stress is a huge one that flares up my dermatitis in my scalp.
Yes, yeah.
Stress, because it triggers my just reflex of being stressed and just itching it. That mm-hmm. is just a physical reflex that I do when I get stressed out. Interesting you said about the research and you don't know. Is there a lot of research on the scalp out there?
More and more, and that's a part of why I like being in the trichology world, because that is we don't just research ourselves. Of course, we don't have that ability to do that, but there are lots of dermatologists now and general practitioners that are really looking into this supposed increase of scalp issues and hair loss. And it's about being able to get someone to sit with you long enough, because it takes about 12 months to do these studies, I believe, on hair loss.
To do them properly, yeah.
To do them properly and then be, you know, properly recorded. So that there's more and more papers on this that wasn't even there before when I first started.
Really?
But getting back to a question you asked me a while ago was, do all trichologists do such a comprehensive consultation? And the answer is yes. I know that because that's what we're taught in our course. And also what's lovely is the associations around the world, even if they're different, we all collaborate. We're sharers and carers. So we can join into each other's conferences and seminars. They're all online at the moment, but yet we don't hide things from one another.
That's a nice community to be
about.
It is
a lovely community.
It sounds small. Is there a lot of trichologists around the world, or is it still
a new job? More than what you would realise.
Okay.
I'm not sure how many in our association, but each seminar that I've joined recently, there's been over 100.
Mm-hmm.
So they're global. You know, you'll find trichologists in Brazil, Canada, the US, Africa, India, the UK, Hong Kong.
You.
Well, there's three of us actually here from my association. So, you know, there's quite a few more. It just depends on which association they've qualified with.
Okay, there's quite a few associations,
yeah.
I want to also touch on supplements and biotin and iron for the hair, because I know that is something that everyone asks. Mm. Probably everyone is, take biotin for hair. What are your thoughts on that?
If someone asked me what I would take first with a hair loss and even scalp issues, I would always say, first of all, check your levels.
Yeah. Don't
go into it blindly, and don't go self-diagnose. Mm. But generally what a trichologist and even a functional medical practitioner will ask is, what's your level of vitamin D, B12, zinc, ferritin. Ferritin's a big one. Well, that's what we're interested in, is the storage.
That's
of
a type
iron.
Of iron. It's a type of iron.
It's the storage of
storage
the
levels.
Iron. So I explain it easily by saying, if you're cooking and you've got all your food on the bench and you run out of broccoli, so you go to your fridge, you open the door, there's nothing in there. You're going to go and steal it or go and borrow it from your neighbour, aren't you? So what the hair cells do, or what the body does, it will say, hair. We've evolved not to need you. You're the second fastest growing cell in the body, but we will survive without you. We're going to look after everything else and we'll get back to you later.
Once we're once we've got more broccoli in the fridge.
That's exactly right. Once our storage is a little bit better. So people will come to me and they'll say, but I was in the range. Of course, because you're not sick, but hair likes to be a certain level. And also the scalp likes to have enough omegas and good fats and doesn't like the sugars, as I said. So your question about biotin, probably there was a study done in the US, and 2% of the population, only 2%, were found to be deficient. So it's not the first thing that you would
need to worry about.
No, there's other things that you would worry about first.
That like probably give more results.
Exactly. Yeah. So that you there's hair, skin and nail supplements, and that's great. And they'll always have biotin in there. You'll see it in there. I'm a big believer in low dosage and cyclical supplementation and making sure that supplements don't clash. That's common knowledge because they can sort of zero each other out. So what was the other one you asked about? Iron, of course. If your baby is 12 months and you're still tired and your iron level and your hair is still shedding, you would definitely check your iron levels. Mm. Anemia is up there on the list for women in particular with hair shedding,
okay.
Hormones and stress. So, yeah. And again, that goes back to the scalp too.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So don't go into it blinded. Get the results, get the tests done, mm-hmm. and find out what you actually need by then just clicking adding to cart on iHerb.
Yes.
Okay, let's go into some listener questions, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Ruby asks, does Head and Shoulders make dandruff worse in the long run?
I think what you need to do is to not rely on Head and Shoulders as your main shampoo. Mm. It's a bit like you wouldn't take Panadol every day. You take Panadol when you've got a headache.
Really needed it.
Yes, I think after a time you might dry your scalp out. Mm. So you don't keep using it as a maintenance. You use it for action. And then you would maybe ask your hairdresser for a milder shampoo that isn't going to affect the condition of your hair or change the scalp in any way. Because the other thing is that sometimes it's your body, when you get dandruff, saying, get away from me. You know, I need to – you're now irritating me, so
– leave me alone.
Leave me alone. So that can be another thing too. You know, your scalp may not like Head and Shoulders. So
is it kind of like the skin and the barrier? When you have a compromised skin barrier, you can get things like perioral dermatitis, and you can get some, you know, when the barrier is damaged, you need to kind of just leave it alone, just put soothing things on. Is it kind of like that? It's saying, I'm not happy, just leave me alone for a little
bit. Sometimes, yeah, it is. And it's a hard one because you don't really know. So if your dandruff was continuing with Head and Shoulders, then take it away.
Yeah, it's not helping.
It's not helping.
Okay. So it's more of a every now and then, but not your permanent shampoo.
Mm. And I'm not knocking Head and Shoulders because that's all we had for a long time. Yeah. But there's some beautiful shampoos around now that have a milder active ingredient in it.
That get the job done, but not as harshly.
Yeah. So you would look for an ingredient, which took me a long time to try and pronounce, and it's peroctane olamine.
Very good.
Yes. So if you find that in an anti-dandruff shampoo, you've got a winner.
Okay. All right. I'll write that down because I'm not going to try and say it again. Jill asks, how do changing hormones change your scalp?
Well, changing hormones depends, because certain hormones may increase oil secretion, and I would say that's the biggest sort of sign or symptom of perhaps if you all of a sudden produce an oily scalp. I've had clients that post-pregnancy all of a sudden have an oily patch, not
just
the whole
patch.
Head, just a patch.
I didn't know that
it's
can
quite
happen.
A phenomenon. And then it goes away. So, and they've swapped products and they've changed things and nothing has helped, but then
it was just her hormones after the baby balancing out
again. Yes, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, hormones, you know, fluctuating, can do an array of things, but I would direct someone to a hormone specialist or an endocrinologist if I suspected hormones playing up with their hair loss or their scalp issues.
Okay, very good. And when people come and do the consultation, an appointment with you, you have a whole list of people that you can direct them to go get their proper tests done.
I can, and I even fit them in with personalities because some people want the direction of the more natural approach.
Yeah.
They want to look into gut health. They don't want to a fast track answer or solution. So some people, female, male,
yeah,
it just depends
what budgets, everything.
Budgets too, yeah.
Very good. Mads asked, I get thinning hair at the top, what to do? I'm sure that's probably a very broad question, but what could you offer?
Well, thinning on the top, I would be looking at and asking, is it the top as in here, or is it the top around the hairline?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So if it's through the top, generally that's considered androgenetic hair loss. So, but we tend to call it male pattern hair loss or female pattern hair loss now because we don't just blame it on genetics or hormones anymore. So it is a thinning of the strand rather than shedding, but you can have the two going on together.
Mm.
But usually shedding is all over. With thinning on the top, it's often the aging process, and people start to think that it's happened overnight, but it's often a long, long period of time. And then in comes some sort of disruption and you're shedding. So the two together can make the top appear
noticeable,
more noticeable. And the other thing that is happening these days is we've got the good old iPhone that can take a photo from the top of our head. We can zoom in, the light has hit. Maybe a regrowth of grey, and it makes the part line look wider. So a lot of my job is about reassurance. Sometimes it's not as severe as it appears, but okay. I never fob off someone when they say that they're worried.
Yeah. So if someone starts to notice hair loss, how long ago, years ago, do you think that started happening from by the time they've actually noticed it?
For genetic, which is basically the thinning of the strand, as you know, like 3 to 5 years is the lifespan of a hair generally, unless it's disturbed, and then it can be a little bit less. But with most of us, we will grow a hair for 3 to 5 years, and then it's very natural to fall out and replace. So, you know, some people, like poor Prince William, he's fast-tracked with genetic thinning. But for women and men...
What is happening with him? I'm sure he has, like, all the money and options to control that. Actually, more Prince Harry.
Well,
he's starting to go, and it's like, you could start catching that, couldn't he?
Yes.
Is it too late for Harry?
No, because he could, he could, you know, do a slow
transplant. Surely he would have seen his brothers having it. Mm, and.
Yeah.
It started happening a few years ago, we noticed. I'm sure he noticed a while ago. Why isn't, I don't know, maybe he's happy with it, up to him. But I always just think it's at his fingertips, I'm sure.
I'm sure. And you know, like there's some famous and wonderful trichologists in London. So I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have the option to ask him, but no. I've always wondered that. Maybe because they're a public figure or a public servant, they're not allowed to do so many vanity things.
Maybe, I mean, and maybe some people don't care about it so much than the rest of us. Images, but I'm not sure I really don't know.
They're in the papers a lot, like, you know, they are public in the eye a lot.
Yeah, but in answer to your question is that, you know, we're probably too busy and we're too focused on other things in our 20s to really worry about what's happening on the top of our head, the slow process of aging of the hair strand. And that's probably the period where we're doing the most damage with smoking and not sleeping and doing the wrong things.
Get your sleep, guys.
Yeah. And so probably, you know, 30s, 40s, we start to notice it.
But it can start happening earlier.
But it could start happening earlier.
So and then you start noticing it in the 30s and 40s. Yeah.
And often, as I said, in conjunction with noticing that, you know, with women, they're having babies in that period, you know, men are slowing down a little bit and so possibly going through that midlife crisis. Then some of us are getting to perimenopause and menopause, so we have some other changes.
Lots of hormone
changes
happening, yeah. Thank you. Nicole asked, can stress cause itchy, flaky scalp? I'm going to answer yes, it can cause itchy scalp, but I'll leave it to you.
You're absolutely right, because it plays on our sympathetic nervous system, and then the body goes into kind of inflammation. Mm. And so with inflammation often comes swelling and itching. So yes, absolutely. Stress in a convoluted way can cause a lot of things. Then we stop eating properly. Mm. We're not, as I said, not sleeping properly, not exercising. So
it's all bad news.
Yes.
Try not to stress, guys. She also asked, my husband can get a dark pink, itchy and irritated looking scalp sometimes. Why is that?
Probably stress again.
Stress.
Lack of sleep, indulging a bit on high sugars and, you know, just bad choices in diet. Mm. The other thing too is it depends whether that's all over the head or whether it's in patches. Because if it's dark pink, red or brown and it's circular, it could be psoriasis.
Okay.
So, but you would look around the nose and the ears and the rest of the body if it's eczema and psoriasis, as opposed to your oily dandruff, which is, your seborrheic dermatitis.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. I think that's the end of the show. Had a good chat. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. And some people might think it's a weird topic, but I can guarantee you that probably every second person is scratching their head at the moment.
Yeah, that's really probably true. Yeah, it's something you don't talk about a lot, scalp issues, because it's not so visible, especially as women with our long hair. People probably have no idea that I have scalp issues. And it's just something I thought I've had to live with, and that's it. It's just what I've got. So hopefully your tips that we had before in our consultation will help me on a path of less scalp issues. But don't forget to say hi to Andrea over on Instagram. I'll leave her handle down below in the show notes, and she has a website you can book in consultations with her if you're in Hong Kong in person at the wonderful Glow Spa in Central that I often work at and do makeup, and that's where we met.
We did, yes.
And people can also do online consultations with you now, can they?
They certainly can. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, if I can see up close is better, but most people know their own bodies, so they can describe perfectly what's going on.
Okay, wonderful. So, yeah, all the options are there for you guys. If you have any more questions for me or Andrea, please say hi to us on Instagram, DM either of us. And if you liked this episode, it would be really nice if you could leave a review on whatever podcast platform that you are listening to. And we will see you in the next one.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, guys.